wrong is if I speak, they are condemned. Meaning all these people that depend on him, if he speaks up for this prisoner, all these people are going to be at a loss without his freedom. If I stay silent, I am damned. You know, there's only one who can damn, and that's God. So it really becomes a wrestling of whether he's going to serve all these people who depend on him or be right in righteousness and justice before God. And so then he goes into this, who am I? Can I condemn this man to slavery, pretend I do not feel his agony? Listen to the intimacy of this. He's now identifying with one. Do you know why many Christians do not even engage the mission of God? Because there are millions of orphans around the world. Because there are millions of people starving. Because there are millions of poor and destitute. There are millions of young ladies being sold into sex trafficking on a daily basis. And it is so overwhelming to us that we just can't even begin to give our lives to the righteousness and justice of God. And what does Jesus do at every turn? He turns us to the one. We justify ourselves because of the masses, and Jesus is calling us to love our neighbor, to adopt that one child, to sponsor that one child, to respond to our husband or wife in our home, to respond to our neighbor across the street. He's calling us to respond to the one. Valjean is wrestling with the masses, and yet his resolution of his identity is beginning to take shape around this one prisoner. He says, pretend I do not feel his agony. This innocent who bears my face, who goes to judgment in my place, who am I? Can I conceal myself forevermore? Pretend I'm not the man I was before, and must my name until I die be no more than an alibi? Must I lie? How can I ever face my fellow man? How can I ever face myself again? And then things begin to change. My soul belongs to God, I know. I made that bargain long ago. He gave me hope when hope was gone. He gave me strength to journey on. And so he steps in front of the court and he declares for all to hear that he is Jean Valjean. Remember, he said Jean Valjean's nothing now. He's dead. But now God's redeeming his identity for the rescue of another. And now he's Jean Valjean. And in saying he's Jean Valjean, he's also able to say, who am I? 24601, which is his prisoner identification number. How can he say he's Valjean and also the prisoner ID number? Because he is willing to be condemned for the sake of another. That sounds like Jesus Christ to me. Jesus says, who am I? I'm the Son of God. Who am I? I will go to the cross and bear the sin of man. I will be condemned in his place. Oftentimes we think that Jesus went to the cross because of his incredible love for all the people in the world. He loves the world, but you know why he loves the world? Because he has intimacy with the Father and he loves the Father. He went to that cross because of his love for the Father. And because he went for the love of the Father, he had love for the world. I've said to people in this move that we're going on as a family, you know, we have a heart for children, my wife and I, and moving to Peru to serve with Kids Alive. But more than anything, in this identity that has shaped us around being God's beautiful servant, and by the way, when Victoria was born, my first thought was, she's beautiful. And I can't tell you how beautiful are the feet of her as she now is living a life that's taking the good news, a legacy that takes the good news around the world. If you look on our website under the title Glordinary Goings, it's about God's glory in our ordinary. Thank you to Mike Shirley for coining that phrase, Glordinary. You'll notice it's a picture of Victoria's feet on that page in the website. Just thinking about her life, how it continues going. Well, my wife and I, as we've been learning with our family, church family, and our broader family of God, as we've been learning this identity of belonging to God as his servant, first and foremost, it has connected us to the Father and his heart. So why do we love children as royalty in the kingdom of God? Because we love the Father. I cannot muster up enough love in my heart to love all the children who are sold into slavery and orphaned and suffering around the world. I can't do it, but I can have love for the Father. And as his identity is formed in me, gives me love for others. And I think this is some of the thread that we're seeing woven through this story. As we wind up our time this morning, I want you to turn, if you will, with me to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to see how this story continues in Scripture. This is where we ended Sunday night. And the man and the woman, again, God created humankind, and now we zero in, and we have this very intimate picture of how he created them, beginning with the man and the woman. And they sin. They turn from God, disobey him. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden, verse 23, to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. A couple of things here. This garden that they are experiencing such intimacy with the Father, it has been violated. And they now must leave the garden. But do you know, even that decision was God's grace for them, because the next verse says that the verse before says that they had to send them out lest he stretch out his hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever. In other words, if God left them in the garden, they would eat from the tree of life and live forever in false intimacy. In other words, live in sin forever. What is sin? Here's one way of describing it: false intimacy. False intimacy. So God was protecting them, his children, from living in this garden with false intimacy. So what does he do? He removes them from the garden. But two things I said on verse 23. They're sent out from the garden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. And that sounds very familiar to the rest of the creation narrative. And here's my point. That is what man was created to do. Cultivate the ground. Cultivate the earth and make it like the garden. The mission didn't change. Even though sin had entered, God's mission was going to continue. He was going to make it possible in another way. He was still sending them out to cultivate the ground. Yes, it's in judgment, but it's still his mission. And he is going to come to them, and he is going to show them grace, and he is going to reveal himself, and he is going to make them new again. And that's what the rest of this scriptural story is for us. When Jesus himself is in the Garden of Eden, very much wrestling like Valjean wrestles, but in the ultimate way. Valjean's a story. Jesus is a true story. And Jesus wrestles and says, "Not my will, but your will be done." Jesus says, "I'll lay my life down for you, Father, for them, to make them new." But this even begins before Jesus in Genesis chapter 12. And this is the last portion we're going to look at here before we close. You see, the story of God making things new begins here. He preserves things through Noah and his family. And Noah's, quite interestingly, given the same commission that Adam and Eve were given, to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. The mission doesn't change. Now God's going to call Abram, a man whose father worshipped many gods, a man who really had nothing to put on his resume that qualified him for this calling, other than God called, he trusted. And because he trusted, it was credited to him as righteousness. So God calls Abram at this point out of his land and leads him into the land of the Jordan. And what's very interesting in chapter 13, verse 10, when Lot lifts his eyes and selects just a part of this land for himself, it's described here like the garden of the Lord. And then after Lot selects a parcel, God has Abram look north, south, east, west, and says, I'm going to give you all of it. God's not done with gardens. He's going to connect heaven and earth once again. I actually believe that separation from the garden is a separation of heaven and earth. God's fellowship and presence with his people. And the story from that point on is how God is once again connecting heaven and earth. What is the New Testament hope? The resurrection, which is into a new heaven and earth. So heaven and earth come together when God calls Abram. It comes together when he builds the tabernacle and God dwells in that tabernacle. It comes together in a profound way when the temple is built and God dwells in that place. And that is seen by the Hebrew people as a place where heaven and earth meet. But it's still just a small place. But what does Jesus say? Tear down this temple, I'll rebuild it in 3 days. And as we'll see in a couple sessions, Jesus breathes on his disciples. They receive the Holy Spirit. And now the temple of God is right here in this room. Where does heaven and earth meet? Right here in this room. Right here in your life. Right here in your family's life. Right here in our fellowship. This is a place where heaven and earth are meeting. And we have hope that what is good and righteous and just, what is shalom, what is peaceful about all of this, is something that will be preserved into the resurrection life of the new heaven and the new earth. And so this story is not over when they have to leave that garden. God is still seeking intimacy with his people, and it's still in the context of a mission. Tonight, we're going to talk more about how this story unfolds, but we're also going to talk a little bit more about what is it that keeps us from entering into intimacy with God and engaging his mission. And we'll have opportunity to sit before him and just sit at his feet and hear what he's putting on our hearts that we need to lay down to enter into this intimacy and mission as a life that he's calling our families, our communities to be a part of. Father, we are so thankful that you redeem our brokenness into lives of blessing for others, and in so doing, we ourselves are immensely and abundantly blessed. We are so thankful that in the midst of our brokenness, you give us an opportunity to understand ourselves in a whole new way as belonging to you and having your Son formed in us. And we are so thankful that as we understand ourselves in you, and that our whole lives are completely found in you, we are so thankful that there is a kingdom that we can live in that is characterized not by unrighteousness and a lack of justice, but that we can live in a kingdom whose qualities are righteousness and justice. Right relationship and rescue for those who are broken. And Lord, we are people in desperate need of right relationship with you and one another, and we are people in need of rescue. And we thank you that you have done this for us. And Lord, may we not only enter into the intimacy for the young people that are here, Lord, that have this opportunity at a young point in their life, about some of the same ages as those disciples who initially followed you, who were the ones who really carried this message throughout the world in the book of Acts. Those disciples were, many of them, around the same ages as these young people. Lord, will the young people in this place understand the righteousness and justice that can characterize their lives from this point forward, the intimacy that's available for them as they understand their identity in you. Would every age in this place understand the hope of new birth and new life at any point in our earthly lives? Because all of us are truly children beginning our eternal lives. So, Father, we ask that you will continue to work in our lives this week, that you might continue to work in a very profound way throughout all of our lives. Lord, let CFO this week be a garden where we walk with you, where we hear from you, and where some small and big things are accomplished in our hearts so that we might enter fields as we leave this garden and cultivate other gardens and yet enter big fields and yet enter gardens. And will you, Lord, continue to work in such a way that we can serve you in small, faithful ways, and yet you turn it into fields of faithfulness as you connect your workers around the world. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Let me encourage you, as you go to creatives, as you engage rhythms, prayer groups, that you really use those times as times to reflect on what the different speakers have been sharing and the Lord has been showing you in devotions and worship and at different times. Make the most of these opportunities to have continuous reflection throughout your day. Lord bless you today.